said that that's not marmalade.
Oh, mercy.
Pierce, we're rolling.
It's weird that you called that your Hitler story.
I am just glad we can never tell that story on the air. It would finish us.
No.
It would finish us.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to WHM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside the whole gang, Stephen Sadak, Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska. We are here to read your letters in this video feed, but fear not. Those who enjoy listening to things in audio form only, this will be released for you guys in a few weeks for free on the main feed.
Look at us.
Yeah,
look at
and
us.
You know, if you're listening to this as audio in a month from now, I'm thinking about growing my hair out. So come on over to the YouTube page, the YouTube channel.
I know you're reading The Witcher. Are you trying to get Witcher hair now?
I'm reading the novel Blood of Elves. I didn't read the short story that everyone said you should first.
Oh man, are you so lost now?
No, I'm not. But I'm kind of angry that there's so many elves and dwarves. But comment on this video if I should grow my hair out or cut it.
Don't comment on my appearance at all. But I also was thinking about growing my hair out, but I don't have the guts.
I don't have the guts.
I just don't have the guts.
Should I just go long? Should I just be disgusting? Comment below. Eric, yes for long hair. Eric, no for short hair.
I'm sorry. Should you be disgusting?
Well, I'm going to either way. But should I grow it? I'm thinking about changing it up.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. It's for you to decide. It's listener request month, almost.
Don't worry, baby. I'll tell you when to cut it.
I'll tell you when you look like shit.
Hey, Kevin, pull my hair.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into it. Steve Sadek, start us off with the letter readings.
Okay. A trauma audition. Dear We Hate Movies mailbag. A letter from a previous episode about visiting the Trauma Studios inspired me to write into my own trauma tale.
All right.
Trauma tale. while that individual was attempting to tour their offices, I was one of those unfortunate individuals who was auditioning for their next feature film.
Ooh.
Wow.
A meditation on Shakespeare's The Tempest, imaginatively entitled Shakespeare's Shit Storm.
Who are these movies for?
That's a first date. That's the end of a first date. It's like, oh, you want to go back to my place and watch Shakespeare's Shitstorm?
What the fuck? Like, who's watching this shit? How are they still?
Or even like, you want to come back to my place and watch Shakespeare's Shitstorm?
You guys are not aware of Trauma's Shakespeare line. Their adaption of Hamlet, my dad's fucking dead, is great.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
There's also Tromeo and Juliet, obviously. That's great. That's the most famous one.
That's really great. So there's multiple.
Toxic Avenger is the most famous trauma piece of shit ever.
Oh, no, I meant Shakespeare. That was based off of Richard III.
Toxic Avenger was.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah, just look into the production.
Shakespeare in Love was trauma, right?
That was Trauma Studios.
I know this was likely asking for trouble, and I hadn't considered myself a trauma fan in many, many years, but I thought I owed it to my teenage Toxic Avenger loving self to give it a try. My efforts were successful, and so I was told via email to show up in their studio in Queens for a rehearsal, which was located about a mile walk from the last stop on the N train. It was one of the hottest days of summer. I made it out there. Once I arrived, nobody in the studio had any idea that there was supposed to be a rehearsal that I had been invited to. Maybe this guy got the Craigslist switch.
Dude,
possibly.
This is a fucking classic catfish situation.
But, wait, by the end of the end line, does that mean that it's Dimars. Like, yes, yeah. Is it past the story of Dimars?
Oh, you can get out. You get out in the weeds if you go out there walking for a mile.
Where like the Steinway factory was.
Yeah,
maybe?
It's probably under the airport.
Single cut brewing.
Bop. Anyway, when I showed them my email. Oh, wow, you printed out the email. Showed them the email instructing me to be there at a specific time and place. They told me that that was sent by their production coordinator who had quit/been fired a few days before. They said that they were having a production meeting in 5 hours, and I was welcome to stick around for that and maybe get some more information then.
5 hours?
Yeah, I mean, the real trauma experience.
For 5 hours.
And like, again, you're in a cornfield, practically. It's not like, you know, you're in Midtown. You're like, all right, I'll go catch a movie.
You're lining up to what? Gargle cornstarch and like water and shit?
But
I'm just surprised they have meetings. Honestly, I'm surprised they have meetings.
It's shocking.
Rather than spend any more time there, I said I would just await further instructions via email, but not before I talked with the wardrobe supervisor about what sort of costume I should wear. In the initial email, I was told that wardrobe for my scenes was a party setting and that I should just wear something casual. So this is, we're not talking a lead here. This is an extra situation.
I guess so, which now I'm realizing, like, that's even worse. That's even worse.
Yeah.
You wanted to be an extra in a trauma movie.
But I mean, that's like sort of like, I'm not working, what am I doing? Or not even, you know, just, that might be fun.
Is an extra in a trauma movie paid?
No, but like, I could spend my day either fucking jerking off or be in a trauma movie.
You know what? There's one of those two things I love doing. And here's a hint. It's not watching trauma movies, dude.
Holy shit. WHM confessions. We said it was coming. But by the way, like, an extra wouldn't go to rehearsal.
Yeah, that's
this
a really good
point.
Would
have to be some kind of a line.
Like, a feature. He's got to speak something. Yeah. Like, he's got to say something.
Well, maybe we'll find out if we keep
reading. Hey, this party's hot.
However, costume I should wear. In the initial, I was told that I should that the wardrobe for my scenes would be a party setting. I should just wear something casual, specifically nothing that I didn't already have hanging in my closet. Okay.
That's like, don't go shopping and give us the receipt.
Yeah,
that's exactly really that.
If it's got a stain on it, it's fine. Don't worry, be at a party.
Now the thing is, they usually tell you not to wear logos or anything. But please, wear Nike, wear Reebok, wear whatever you want. What we do is we show the footage, and then the Nike Corporation pays us to digitally blur it. That's a little, it's called two bites of the same apple.
It's also going to be stained anyway. So wear something stained or wear a logo. It's going to be covered by the grime and the filth.
Also, every time we get sued, it's free publicity.
Whoa, there, Jabba. We only have so many ruffles.
Oh, God.
Hang in my closet. However, suddenly the wardrobe director told me that what I needed was two identical suits because one of them was going to be repeatedly sprayed with shit.
Cool. Now, hey, what a fucking great way to spend
your
time.
And I'm going to guess it doesn't mean shit. Like, I think they mean shit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, here at Troma Studios, we only use the best in legitimate shit props.
Oh, God.
Straight from a horse farm.
Ugh. It's like their toilet just funnels into a hose that they spray their actors with. But like, if you're going to make people be sprayed with shit, you're buying those clothes. You're providing those clothes.
Yes, I'm exactly.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a vintage diarrhea from Divine's Last Days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's in a fucking real... That should be in a... That should,
yeah.
That should, like, that should be in a museum.
You think like Christie's would be auctioning that.
It's shocking that they're not.
Naturally, I did not have two identical suits hanging in my closet, especially ones that I would likely never be able to wear again. I spent the rest of the afternoon searching thrift stores for suits to no avail. I waited patiently for further instructions about rehearsal.
Oh my God! Production fucking letter.
Production start.
Thank you for your letter.
Never came. I started to wonder if the film was falling apart. Finally,
it was.
Finally, one Saturday night at 2 a.m., I received an email saying the production was beginning on Monday morning, so I should show up with my costumes and prepare to work for 15 hour days for 3 weeks. There was no mention of payment.
That's
and all
shocking.
My
Whoa, shocking.
3 weeks, 15 hour days. This guy's like a lead.
Yeah, exactly.
You're being covered in Divine's shit. That's payment enough as far as I'm concerned.
There was no mention of payment, and my previous inquiries about such matters went unanswered. So I decided this is all too much, and I decided to give up on my trauma dreams. A week later, I checked their Twitter, and they posted some videos from the set. I finally got to see what I was missing out on. Ron Jeremy.
Wow, you missed the hedgehog, dude. What a tragedy.
I mean, that's, you know, then you have a Ron Jeremy story, you know?
Yeah, I got a chance to smell Ron Jeremy and how terrible that was.
Ron Jeremy and various other D-level porn stars were in various stages of undress and rolling around in kiddie pools full of brown water and floating turds.
Again, don't put kiddie pools in a sentence like that.
You're totally right.
That is a lawn pool. I never felt so happy to turn down an acting job. Perhaps I'll feel some FOMA when the film is eventually released, but somehow I don't think so. Thanks for all you do, and keep doing more of it. No name given.
So, youth consultant Steven Sadak, what is FOMA?
I have that, you know what? I have no idea.
It's supposed to be FOMO.
FOMO.
It's fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah,
okay.
FOMO.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You knew that.
Oh, I knew that.
Okay.
I even knew that they fucked it up in their typing. Unless FOMA is something else entirely.
It could be, but I assume it's
fear of missing agony. Being on a fucking
that would actually be more accurate.
Fear of missing ass.
Yeah, oh, so right.
Because that's where the shit comes.
Or what with the hedgehog being on set.
Oh, right. He could, yeah.
He has a great ass.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just... Never would I go to the Troma Studio.
Absolutely
never would
not.
I ever.
No.
I mean, I guess I understand that, like, if you were really into the idea of I'm going to be in one movie at least in my life that I can rent somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
I guess that's your easiest portal
to
totally.
That. That makes sense.
Is Ron Jeremy diseased, you think?
You can't be, right?
They keep it pretty clean, remember?
You got to keep it clean.
Yeah.
You're not having a diseased hedgehog on the set.
You get another diseased actor with him.
There you go.
Match him up.
All right, Chris Cabin.
Jim Prom.
Jim Prom. Hey, I'm a Jim Prom. Oh, it's GYM. Excuse me.
I remember Jim Prom. He ran for president in 2016, dropped out pretty early. Lincoln Chaffee made it longer.
Lincoln Chaffee. Remember that dude?
I am Chaffee. Yes, I do.
Oh, man. I'm going to stub four people with two questions. Can either of you name either Jill Stein or Gary Johnson's running mate?
No, who cares?
I mean,
did they have one?
They would have to if they're running. Yeah, right.
Did they have one?
It was Jill Stein, wasn't it? Susan Sarandon. Yeah.
That's a good internet impression.
That's an impression of the internet.
It really is.
No, yeah, I just thought that
I don't remember it at all.
It was like Brown and Smith. That's my guess.
With Gary Johnson, I'm pretty sure it was just a chair.
It was Gary Johnson and then his friend Barry Johnson, who you never saw.
He's wearing a fake mustache, you think?
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, look, yes. The vice president debates right now. Okay, I'll be right back.
Yes, it's me, Gary. It's Barry Johnson. Very different than my friend Gary.
Sir, please leave the auditorium.
I don't have to. It's my auditorium.
All right, Kevin. Jim Prom.
Dear WHM, love the show and just signed up for your Patreon. Hey, thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. By the way, patreon.com/WeHateMovies if you want much more. There is, for instance, a 3 hour, 2 hours and 51 minute episode on Star Wars.
Wow. Why
keep plugging the We Love Movies month? It was such a success.
And Bad Boys just came out this month.
Exactly.
And other stuff's coming.
Totally.
Lara Croft Tomb Raider's coming out next month. So you'll enjoy some of
it. I shuddered because we're about to record the episode on that, and I remembered watching it last night, and my asshole tightened up.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah. All right, Kevin.
Worth it. In your What Women Want episode, you talked about proms happening at gyms. And while my prom was held at our high school gym, it has nothing to do with my story.
All right.
It did inspire me to tell you about my prom, which is yet more proof that I am a stubborn asshole. Throughout high school, I was a bit of a loser.
Are you a loser, Eddie?
been there, man.
I had
Disney's the kid. I grew up to be a loser!
I'm glad you said Disney's the kid.
It's the film Disney's the kid.
Right.
He could be talking about Charlie Chaplin.
That's where my head went. You're totally right, Cabin.
I had a couple of close friends, but I never really fit in with any of the classic high school cliques. I was too dorky for the jocks, too stupid for the nerds, and not popular enough for the cool kids.
To be fair, you call that a floater, my friend. If you've got, so long as you've got a group of friends, and you can kind of go around. It depends. If people are like literally calling you a loser to your face, then I guess you happen to be a loser at the time.
The floater, man, the turd that gets flushed first. You're the least likely to be invited to anything.
I sort of possess the ability to sashay between groups.
The lines between the lines.
Yeah. That's where I was floating, man. I was behind
spaces.
The books on the bookshelf.
Ah.
I was Matthew McConaughey playing the book piano.
Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? Oh, my God. That guy's not a jock, nor a nerd, nor a goth. Oh, man.
But he's got some cool sideburns.
I found a really cool party between these bookcases where I'm going to play pool. And then, boom, I'm going outside and driving a Lincoln.
You know, that is the saddest commercial I've seen in a really long time.
It's puzzling.
Because it starts with Matthew McConaughey leading that dinner conversation.
Sure.
He's telling what I can only imagine is a great story.
It's a Wild Turkey commercial, just to get everybody.
No, this is the Lincoln one.
Oh, the Lincoln commercial.
Yes.
Okay.
He's telling a story. He's pontificating. Everybody's hanging on his every word.
Yeah.
Is this in a car?
No. This is
at a party. It's a very
He's at a dinner party.
End.
Really nice house
very
kind of thing.
Very rich
It's a house
people.
That's been used in movies before. I've seen this house in movies before. Yeah. Then it cuts. He tells this great story that we get like the last word of. Then it cuts to him playing pool by himself. And he does like a trick shot thing. And everybody's like, that's so fucking cool. I've never seen that before.
Is that in a car?
No, that's at the party.
Then he leaves the party and gets in the car. And he's just all alone. And he drives off. And I was like, what happened?
I've been working on a theory that he does that trick shot. And it's like so freaking cool. And everyone's like, oh my God. Not only that guy talked to us a lot and was really charming, but he did that cool shot. Oh my God. Oh, wait, where is he? He stole my car. Stole my fucking car.
Hey, he's stealing your car, man.
Exactly. My beautiful Lincoln.
Yeah, I always steal Lincolns.
I drink Wild Turkey while I do it.
Did he just take his wallet? I think he took his wallet.
I think that guy took the guy's wallet.
My wallet's gone. My wallet's gone. Wow, we are like crisscrossing pop culture references. It's awesome.
We're having fun. Sorry. All right, Kevin. I kept to myself until my senior year. For whatever reason, my senior year, I started making friends with the popular kids. That means you're popular, buddy. Getting invited to parties, sitting at the cool table, finally scoring a girlfriend.
Girlfriend, you're popular.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
My only high school girlfriend, Jenna, was gorgeous.
Nice.
Hey, you can send us a picture in the next letter, man. Listen,
this is subjective. I'm sure I'd find her repulsive.
way out of my league on paper. Uh-huh. She's one of the smartest and most popular students at school. We dated for the majority of senior year. In the beginning of the year, we had joked about me going to prom wearing the same orange tux Jim Carrey wore in Dumb and Dumber. The problem was, I didn't think it was a joke. I thought it was a plan. So as prom drew closer and closer, we started to argue over the tux. Let it go, buddy.
That joke's better on paper.
Yeah. Well done.
Anytime you say, wouldn't it be funny if, that's a joke. And that means don't do it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That is it. Also, by the way, working theory about those tuxedos. Uh-huh. I'm pretty certain that's a reference to Howard Hawks' Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, because Marilyn Monroe and the other woman whose name I can't remember, Jane Russell, I think, are wearing a sort of like orange and light blue outfit in that movie. Yeah.
And they look stupid as shit and everyone laughs at them.
No, everybody look totally gorgeous because it's Jane Russell and Marilyn Monroe.
It would make sense because everybody knows Peter Farrelly is a genius.
Shit, dude, we're recording this just a few days before the Oscars.
You have to lock eyes with the camera.
Peter Farrelly is a genius.
She kept saying she didn't want to go to prom with somebody dressed like an idiot.
You know what? That makes total sense.
At this point, she didn't know I had also planned to get the same bowl cut that Carrie had in the film.
This is going too far.
Way too far.
This is
a real problem.
The fight got so intense, we eventually broke up and went to prom separately.
Dude!
Pull out.
Whoa. No, you're not pulling out anything exactly. You got broken up with.
Exactly.
There's
the
no
argument.
Oh,
wait, hold on. The next sentence is so important.
Turns out she was right. I did, in fact, look like a total jackass.
He did it anyway, ladies and gentlemen. He did it anyway.
I respect that.
I mean,
dedication
I guess
to the true. Bit. You got nothing to lose.
Oh, my God. Jackass indeed.
I guess Dumb and Dumber wasn't as popular as I thought.
Well, that's incorrect.
Yeah, it was. This is just a terrible idea.
Nobody gives a shit. It's not a costume party.
The whole night I had to continuously tell people I was dressed like Jim Carrey from the movie and not just an idiot.
Dude, when you are one half of a couple's costume, go home and fucking change.
Listen, guy, just chip your tooth and wear a limo's chauffeur outfit.
Yeah.
You're fine.
After the prom, I was immediately sent back to the bottom of the high school food chain where I belonged. Man. And nobody talked.
What does it matter now? Isn't that the end?
Yeah. Like the last 3 weeks of school, you'll fuck yourself.
Well,
everybody.
It's like losing the big game in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. You fucking blew it.
Oh, no.
I don't give a shit, but this guy blew it.
Yeah, he blew it, but like...
I didn't blow it. I rode out on a fucking high wave of glory.
Did you really?
No, so
did
I don't
you,
know.
You dressed as
I can speak from experience. No, he did not. fun fact.
Fuck me.
Jenna and I are still friends. That shows a lot of strength on her part. I even went to her wedding where she married a guy she started dating at our prom. And I'm not angry about it.
Hold on a second.
That's incredible.
So did he have the Samsonite briefcase?
No, I wore a traditional suit for the wedding. Well, you learned your lesson at least.
Yeah.
Dude, you should have stuck it to her and fucking wore that goddamn shirt.
That would have been, that would have been legitimately funny and disturbing.
Ultimate revenge.
Wrong. Go full Ace Ventura at that point. Get the hairdo.
Swoop hair?
Oh, yeah, dude. Hawaiian shirt, the whole thing. Yeah,
talk out of your ass. Give a speech. Demand to give a speech. And then put it to your asshole.
No. What you have to do is get a violent beach in the middle of the ceremony.
Yeah, that's... You spend... I don't know, $2,000. You get Dan Marino for the day. So now it's you.
Dude, you dressed. Cannot get Dan Marino out of bed for less than $20,000. $2,000 on Dan Marino. Get out of here.
Depends. Are we in Southern Florida or not in Southern Florida?
$2,000 OJ Simpson.
Yes, that's definitely true. Possible.
That'd be great.
Thanks for the free and premium laughs, Gary.
Oh, Gary, that was a great letter.
Thank you, Gary, so much. And thank you for being a Patreon supporter.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Gary. Man, isn't it amazing how little prom matters? Like, you would think... Oh, yeah. You would nothing think that... Yeah. I go decades without thinking about the prom. I didn't go, but, like, just decades without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Without even thinking.
I didn't go either, but I do believe... I wasn't there for the episode where you guys talked about... gym proms.
Yeah.
I believe mine was a gym
prom. Oh, was it? Okay.
Because this is, if you're in a small ass school.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had like a graduating class of like 60 or some shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe 100. I don't know. Some people probably dropped
off. I'm surprised you didn't have field prom.
Fields closed after dark. You can't have the kids run around the field.
Like, all right, Eric Sisko.
Reckon the hay. Oh, okay.
Yes, back to the reading.
Oh, I forgot how. Larry the Cable Guy ruined my life.
Hey, ours too.
Yeah. Hi, WHM guys. You finished?
No. Oh, dear.
This is why you need to watch it on YouTube. This beer just spilled everywhere. Yeah. Why?
Southern Tier Brewing, you sneaky devil. Mm.
You son of a bitch.
I fixed it.
Makes a slob out of you and me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sorry, pants. Anyway,
apologies for the long email.
Oh, God.
Hint. When you write apologies for the long email, stop yourself and then be like, well, how do I make this email shorter?
That's right.
Let me take out this detail, that detail, and then now you don't have to apologize to anybody.
I was wearing blue when I wrote this email. No. I don't know how to tell the story any other way. I'm a huge fan and Patreon supporter.
Thank you very much.
Quick plug, anyone watching, listening should become a supporter. It's totally worth it. He wrote that, not me.
It's right there. It's right
not
there.
Not me. Where's the camera?
Right there. Eric. Yeah, that makes sense. Uh-huh. Yeah, they got it.
Yeah, we got it.
I don't think they got it, but fine.
It's dynamic content.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who wants this email forwarded to them, give me your email address. I'll forward it.
How much more dynamic do you need? I just spilled beer all over my balls.
Yes, Jesus. Well, okay. You want more pictures of the balls? You want the email? Comment below.
That's not happening. The
we'll
ball
email,
pictures are not
emailing
happening.
Emailing the balls.
Emailing my balls?
Or would you rather fax them? Put it through one of those juggernauts?
And Miranda! Somebody just emailed me their balls. Just you fucking around on my email again, Miranda?
Miranda writes, man, you get free balls.
You have the right to free balls.
if you cannot
provide balls,
balls will be provided.
Yes, court-appointed balls.
Please return the balls before you leave.
Jeez, my balls are no good. Have these even gone through puberty yet? How are they going to get me out of this case?
Oh, my God.
Anyways, you have
all
a very
right,
long
please time. Read this man's email.
I have a somewhat funny story about how Larry the Cable Guy ruined my chances with a nice girl and made me do extra schoolwork. Mm. I was a senior in high school during the 2006-2007 school year.
All right.
I don't mean to brag, but I was pretty popular and a good athlete.
Oh, fuck you,
fucking bitch. Oh, wait. Patreon supporter. I absolve
you. Well,
now
this guy should bully the other guy. We should connect them so that he can bully.
Maybe that's what our new thing is. Maybe that's how we become finally profitable, is we make like a bullying buddy system. Like a
bully buddy.
He can dress up like Jeff Daniels and they can just hang out in a room together and waste the rest of their lives.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road.
No, this guy should dress as Charles Rocket, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. He should be Charles Rocket.
Where do you get all that fake blood? It's a question.
Oh, you know what, man? I was about to be like, everybody avoided a suicide joke. That's great.
Nope.
I think he's underrated as my defense of It's Pat.
Right. I forgot about that. All right.
One day I went on a field trip with the Spanish department to St. Louis. That's a traditional Spanish locale.
A little rich boy over here.
To hang out at the botanical gardens and zoo. What does that have to do with Spanish? I grew up in East Central Illinois, and this trip was a fun day out of school. There was a girl on the trip that was a year younger than me, and I always thought she was very pretty. We'll call her Mary.
Because that was her name.
Now, Mary and I had talked a little bit. Her family went to the same Catholic church as mine, but we never really spent time together. I walked up to her in the botanical gardens and asked if she wanted to hang out for a bit. She said, sure.
I've never done that. Like, hey, want to hang out? Yeah, sure.
You're not a popular jock, my friend.
That's true. This dude
popular jock.
This is guy's young and he's cut and he looks gorge.
That's, yeah.
Popular jock. He's big and he plays football and he'll kick your fucking ass.
We walked along the manicured rows of flowers, joking and laughing.
Nice.
Please email again with what the jokes were. Talking about school and mutual friends. In my dumbass 17-year-old brain, it seemed like our love was blossoming like the countless pink, blue, and yellow petals surrounding us.
Wow, this is some real lush prose.
Well, you know, it's like I'm there.
Regular Graham Greene over here.
Wow, that's well me making a book reference.
Yeah.
Now geez. You can see me do the book reference.
Just a reminder that I, Steve Zadak, read books.
Could we get like one of these fans, one of these hot jocks to come and bully Steve on one of these video mailbags? That'd be terrific.
That would be pretty fun.
Well, that would be paying someone to bully me, which is a whole different situation in an adult context.
I'm willing to spring a little bit for that.
No, when you pay someone to bully you as an adult, that's just a fetish.
Yeah, that's called sex work.
Wouldn't that be nostalgic for you? Yeah, come on.
Catholic school and all.
Sorry, I was drinking a beer. When it was time to get back on the bus, I asked her if she would like to go on a date. Specifically, if she would like to go see a movie. She was enthusiastic about the idea and put her cell phone number in my phone contact list. Wow, just being in high school with cell phones.
Yeah, that's a weird.
New thing.
Yeah.
There were cell phones at least creeping in when we were...
Oh, but they were like those blue screen Nokias.
Yeah, oh yeah,
whatnot,
for sure. Yeah.
They weren't like real cell phones.
Oh, God, those blue screen Nokias, those were something.
They had three ringtones. One that kind of sounded like a phone. The one that was... And then, for some reason, Hava Nagila. Those were the ringtones you had on a phone back then.
That's true. If you want to see them, check out 24 Season 1.
Yeah, totally. You're right. Why don't my good man? Can you give me one of those blue Nokias?
You know what? You know, the prequels, I always thought that prequel technology would be dirtier and dumber.
Didn't do it.
Somehow it's cleaner.
Doesn't make sense.
It's slicker. No,
just doesn't make sense. Doesn't
it's like with sense. Like Star Trek Discovery. It should be like looking shitty as fuck.
Yeah.
And it looks clean and more high tech than the original series.
Enterprise is kind of shitty as fuck, so they kind of got that.
They did do it right on Enterprise. Totally.
Now, where was I?
We didn't sit next to each other.
We didn't sit next to each other on other than on the bus home, but we were texting the entire time. Fast forward to Sunday of the next weekend.
Oh, thank God.
I can tell you what you could have cut out. Give me a red pen.
I told her that she could pick the movie, and she chose Delta Farce starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, eep.
I picked her up and sat through the whole film holding her hand. She laughed at all the classic Larryisms.
Classic Larryisms.
I couldn't believe
it. I think it's just get her done, right?
Yeah, I mean...
That's the only one.
Yeah.
Well, like, oops, I farted.
You ever fart so hard, your back cracked?
Did he say that more than once?
No, I don't know. That's just the one.
That was one of his best stand-up joke, though.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
Maybe he said tater salad in the movie, and he just got confused.
That's wrong.
I know it's Ron White, but he might have stole it.
Larry, I'm going to sue you.
It's my Ron
If
White.
I ever sober up, I'm going to sue you, you piece of shit.
God, that's what I want. I want, like... Instead of like Marvel's Civil War, I want the Civil War of the blue collar comedy crew.
Look, you put Civil War and blue collar comedy together, you're getting a whole different product, my friend.
Yeah, that's actually true. It's about tradition.
I guess I should call it the blue and gray comedy.
This does put a smile on my face.
You ever fart so hard you write a petition to keep some statues around?
I think, who's that other one that nobody remembers?
Bill Engvall.
Bill Engvall would be like the Hawkeye of the
group. Yeah, exactly.
Be like, where's Bill Engvall? Who cares?
But Andrew, he's going to have a big role in Endgame.
He might.
I'm just anticipating the internet.
Yeah.
I took her home after the movie and met her mom, parentheses, super nice.
Sick.
And dad, parentheses, dismissive, which I appreciated.
That is all dads when you are dating their high school daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She invited me up to her room, which her parents had no problem with.
Get the fuck out of here.
She closed the door. Hold on.
Talk about dismissive.
Closed door.
Not in this house, Missy.
Bedrooms.
Not in this house, Missy.
Wow.
I'm like the dad now having a problem with this.
I can't even believe it.
And they're texting?
Eric, you should be dismissive. He'd appreciate it.
This is some email guy. Is that dismissive? Then she asked me what I thought of the movie. I said I didn't really like it. I'm not really a big fan of Larry the Cable Guy. She kept bringing it up, asking why I didn't like the movie.
Oh, yikes.
I kept trying to deflect. Eventually, I realized that I couldn't honestly answer her without hurting her feelings. So as an out, on a Sunday around 7 p.m., I said I had to finish Spanish class extra credit project and turn it in on Monday morning. I drove home and printed out a bunch of pictures of, at the time, current members of the soccer team Real Madrid for a poster.
Real Madrid.
Okay. Well, you're the one that hates these extra details. I don't know about that. I don't care about this.
You know what? I hate extra details, but you know what I hate more? Mispronunciation.
But there's no accent. That is Real Madrid.
Yeah. I know the fucking soccer team.
What'd you call it?
Real Madrid.
You are a man of the world. I'm just Larry here.
Hey, cool. I'm watching the Real Madrid game eating tater tots.
I do not know how to make this email shorter. Don't tell me what your fucking Spanish homework was.
The Spanish homework is crucial. I've actually read this email.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold maybe I'm an asshole.
This guy's a Patreon supporter, so I retract everything negative I've said. I also wrote a two-page paper on the history of the team to go along with the post.
I love this whole thing, by the way, creating a totally shitty last-second extra credit project, because you know this teacher's going to take it.
That's some Costanza moves.
It's a total Costanza move, absolutely.
I mean, you should have just done a poster of Franco.
Oh, yeah.
Just, of course. Just leave that there.
The best of the best, Franco.
That's right, famed Spaniard James Franco.
Yeah.
Oh, the dictator.
Oh, yeah, no, the better one. At the dining room
table. The good Franco.
Jesus Christ. I'm kidding. We're not talking about Dave Franco.
Yeah, he's the best of the best.
At the dining room table, as I was hastily gluing pictures to a poster board with my messy handwriting underneath, my dad walks by, points at the poster, and asks, "This passes as extra credit."
Classic dad.
Hold on. My dad walks by.
"This passes as extra credit, you piece of shit. Why don't you start paying rent? And when are you going to take me to that Larry the Cable Guy movie?"
Look, the crystal meth isn't going to shatter and crack up itself.
Oh, nice.
We don't know that.
That's why you're learning Spanish, to be the middleman with the gun to tell. Anyway.
My dad was a drug kingpin.
That'd be amazing. This would be like the start of a novel.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Long enough to be.
I turned to the project the next morning because I feared that Mary would find out that I'd made it up if I didn't.
Mary, I promise it's not a made-up extra credit assignment.
What the fuck? This is English. You don't give me your poster. What are you doing with the poster? Sit down.
My Spanish teacher rolled her eyes, stapled two pages of paper to the poster, and put it on the wall of quote-unquote cultural projects. A gallery of half-assed artwork and displays made by white kids. Page turn. You can see this on YouTube.
That's
pretending to understand Spanish and Latin American culture. At the end of the year, I'm sure that my poster and paper ended up in the dumpster.
Absolutely.
And so did my heart.
So my poster and paper are sitting in the landfill of Illinois right now, and I tried to skip a sentence, and then I realized it nipped me in the bud there.
Oh.
Yeah. So he just said that they definitely didn't recycle anything at his school, so the poster's in the dumpster, just so we're all clear.
Sure.
Oh, good. I was lost for a second.
The materials probably won't decompose for hundreds of years. Well, paper, it's probably
it's paper.
Fine.
It's gone already. It's been 12 years. I'm just saying. That project is long gone.
It's from the earth and it returns to the earth.
That's exactly right.
I think it's a fitting monument to Larry the Cable Guy. Best regards, Will, in Seattle now. Well, thank you for supporting our Patreon, and thank you for getting out of East Central Illinois.
Can I give you a one-word response that's going to get you out of any and all awkward movie conversations for the rest of your life?
Yeah, yeah.
It's you're
take
in this
a shit.
You're in this situation.
I knew you were going to say it.
And you're not Chris Cabin.
Right.
You're someone that like doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Maybe you're with somebody that really enjoyed a movie. You didn't.
Sure.
Et cetera, et cetera. You're going to make out with somebody, and you'd like to continue with the making out. So what'd you think in the movie? It was fun. It was fun.
It was
the word
fun.
Is
that's
fun.
It.
Just play ignorant. Your real feelings can wait.
It's just fun.
Fun. They can wait for your IMDb user review.
Fun is it's
could generic.
Be it could be stupid. It could be bad. It could be. It was fun. I had fun with it. That
absolutely.
Was fun. Yes. Oh, Grandma, you like that movie? That's
fun. Even if you're like choking it back, you don't want to say that. You just be like, oh, it was dumb fun.
You
can't say it negatively.
Yes, yeah, so, oh, it was dumb fun.
They're completely right. Lie to all potential partners. it's a go-to thing.
Cabin, you know what, man? Sometimes people don't want to fucking hear your opinion about a movie, man.
You're like, I don't care.
Sometimes I just want to get in the car after King Kong and shut the fuck up.
You can't. You're with me now, fucker.
You know, you get back with you're driving back with your boss. Monday morning, your boss is like, oh, did you see that Prodigy this weekend? Oh, I did. What'd you think? Oh, it was fun. You know what I mean?
You know, like, it really smacked my bitch up. Oh, wait, you mean the movie?
The film, The Prodigy.
I totally forgot that the film, The Prodigy, existed. I thought he was talking about the band,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about The Fat of the Land, which I owned on CD.
Fun.
Sick.
F-U-N.
That's
easy.
Right.
Easy. Done.
Twisted fire starter.
I'm a fire starter.
Breathe with me.
Yeah. Holy fuck, I know what I'm listening on the way home.
All right, cool. proper airplane viewing etiquette. Longtime listener, first time writing into the mailbag. Before I share my story, I do have to brag that I may be the only WHM listener who can say they were taught. Oh boy, I know who this person is. They were taught the art of 35 millimeter projection by Mr. Andrew Jupin himself.
And what? Lived to tell about it.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what that guy said about that class? Oh, it was fun.
You know, that was dumb fun.
Oh, Andrew, he's fun.
Yeah, that is a legitimate critique of hanging out with me. He was a wonderful teacher, but I will say you've never experienced terror until you've had Andrew stare at you with disappointment after damaging a print of the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Oh, that was that movie where old people get horny.
No, it's in a very specialized subgenre of film called Old English People Are at First Afraid of Indian People and Then Learn That They're Human Beings.
Oh, that's so fun.
Oh, they're not fucking?
No, the old people, the old white people are fucking each other.
Yeah, what I mean. Yeah,
they get in
it's
there.
But old white people
But
do.
Also they learn that Indian people are human beings.
Yeah, that's right. That's an important lesson to learn in your 80s.
Oh,
yeah.
one less lash with the whip today.
Oh, God.
I've learned to respect you.
It was the same look my father gave me when I told him I was quitting the basketball team to try out for the High School Musical. Look, 35 millimeter prints are expensive. Anyways, I wanted to share a story from back in 2012 when I went on vacation to Mexico with my wife. After a layover in Georgia, we got on our second flight where my wife had the window seat and I was in the middle seat. In the aisle seat was a very wholesome Bible Belt fellow around the age of 40. He shook my hand when he sat down and introduced himself, excited to tell me that this was his first flight ever. Shoot me in the fucking head.
And last.
Like, don't talk to me on a plane. I don't like talking to people I know on planes.
I'm going to storm the cockpit.
Well, actually, I snuck a gun on here, buddy, so I can do it right.
2012. No, it's still too early.
Yeah.
Too late, I think.
I made some small talk being polite and told him that the nerves of flying would go away once the plane was in the air. After takeoff, I took out my laptop to watch a screener I had been given of a new film. Some might not find this to be the best way to start a vacation to Cancun, but I ended up watching a documentary called The Act of Killing.
Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. For those unfamiliar, it's about the death squad leaders of the Indonesian genocide in the 1960s. Well done.
That's a simplistic way of saying it, but sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like a fucking 3-hour movie.
Yes, yeah, I get it.
I eventually started falling asleep, so I hit the pause and dozed off. My wife.
I'm afraid of watching Game of Thrones on a plane. Like, you know, like, what is it, might be a little too racy.
Well, no. See, I will totally be fine with like violent whatever. Like when we played, when we did a show in Atlanta, we did a Friday the 13th movie, and I was watching that shit on the plane. I didn't have a fucking problem with that.
Nudity.
It's the nudity.
Yeah,
it is the nudity.
What are you watching from somebody else on a plane?
You know what? No one's going to ask you, what are you reading?
Yes.
Perhaps a book.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm still disappointed, Chris, when you left the basketball team.
They were mean to me.
But you were the best water boy they had.
I was trying.
After the plane had landed, I asked the man next to me to how he felt. After his first time flying, he told me it was fine, but immediately got up and grabbed his bag, standing in the aisle until we could leave. I was confused as he was so friendly before the flight, but now seemed uncomfortable even sitting next to me. It was bugging me the whole way to the hotel. Did my head roll onto his shoulder while I was sleeping? Did I drool? Did I snore? I wouldn't figure out the truth until I opened up my laptop later that night. It turns out the frame that I had paused The Act of Killing on was the scene where Adi, one of the death squad leaders, is at the mall shopping with his family. I attached a screenshot for you to see. It seems harmless, just Adi shopping with his wife and daughter. But what I realized at the bottom of the screen were the subtitles for his voiceover, which read, "We shoved wood in their anus until they died." Looking back at this incident years later, I do find it hilarious, which it is, but I also feel awful that I traumatized this innocent man on his first flight. Look, here's the deal. You distracted this dude from thinking the plane was going to crash because he was looking at your abhorrent documentary subtitles.
It's not like you shoved wood into his anus until he died.
Still, of my top 5 would not watch on a plane movies, The Act of Killing is like number 3.
Yeah. It's up there. At the very least, I don't think he'll be seeking out any more of Joshua Oppenheimer's filmography anytime soon. Do you have any similar stories of leaving a movie paused at a really awkward scene or out of context, or maybe an inappropriate movie choice for a flight? Thanks, WHM, and see you at work, Andrew. Sean G. Thank you very much, buddy. The plane thing is always terrifying, and it was actually, you know, it's funny when we played. When we were going to Milwaukee.
Uh huh.
That the Chicago Milwaukee shows we did last year on the plane, I was watching Tank Girl
on the train.
No, on the plane. On I was also plane. Watching Tank Girl.
Oh.
Yeah. And like from New York to Chicago. And there's like the showering scene where she's like getting like dust thrown on her or whatever. And she's naked. And I was like looking around like, and then I got rid of that.
Well, that happened to me too. I was sitting next to a well-adjusted, like a really, like they weren't on their honeymoon. Like they were young, clean-cut, a fresh couple. They were very nice.
How obnoxious!
And I'm
is
the
that?
Third fat guy, and I'm like, I'm just gonna watch this Jason Voorhees movie. I write for Fangoria.
You wish.
Oh, dude, get those fucking fat Fango checks.
I have a really bad story.
Oh.
I was on a plane and I was watching
pornography.
No, probably worse. I was watching Society.
Come on, Kevin.
You're trying to fuck up.
It was my first time. I don't know what's happening at the end of this thing, but here was the problem.
Sure.
And I'm pretty good about like turning my computer to like make sure nobody gets to see it. Cause I was like, it's a horror movie. Something's going to happen. What I didn't notice, so I put in my headphones. And it sounds like a little light in my headphones. I'm like, that's weird, but whatever. And I start playing it, and I go all the way through, and I just like at like mid shunting, I start getting this.
Oh no, dude!
Whoa. And the lady next to me is like, you know, your headphones aren't all the way in. I can hear everything.
Oh no! Oh.
You are such a colossal fuck up. That is insane.
Oh my god. Yuck.
Sorry, everybody. And sorry to that lady. I don't know her name.
Did they divert the flight? We're landing in Pittsburgh.
Nope.
Immediate emergency.
To arrest this man.
That's hilarious.
No, but I tried to spend the rest of the time in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, Steve Sadek, the final letter.
Oh, my God.
Of the evening.
Of February. The shortest of all months, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check your calendar.
Feels the longest.
Is that true?
And now, vomit.
I love this.
Okay,
subject
now get
line.
To the now get to the letter.
No, no, no. This is
what?
What?
Dear WHM, since there are a few things funnier than hearing you guys recount tales of bodily functions gone awry, I thought I'd recount the time that I went to the movies and subsequently puked multiple times throughout the entire duration
Hell
of the
yeah,
film.
Dude.
That's awesome.
That fucking rules. More vomit letters, by the way.
No, yes. Please do not.
We all hate movies at gmail.com.
It was New Year's Eve 2000. Whoa.
2000.
And my friend Matt and I were planning to go to the movies during the afternoon since we both had family parties to attend later in the evening. Our initial plan was to go see the WHM classic Dracula 2000.
2000.
But alas, the theater had already taken it out of rotation. Look at the fucking newspaper, dude. See what you're...
Dude, the whole notion of rolling up to the movies without knowing what you're going to see.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
I was a big movie roll-up guy
in my
day.
You're a fucking cinematic terrorist.
Because the movie theater I went to all the time was connected to the mall, and this was back when malls were a thing.
Oh, yeah, right, sure. Malls.
So I was just like, I could just fucking kick around for an hour.
Yeah, and just see what this is around.
Fair enough.
But alas, the theater taking out of rotation. Not wanting to waste a trip... The theater, since it was a 30 to 40 minute trip to get there, we pressed on and chose WHM hopeful Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, I saw this in the theaters too.
Definite stay tuned. I watched it recently. Good God.
Indeed.
The night prior, I was feeling a bit sick, but I figured it would be okay the following day. So I just decided to suck it up. You know, whatever.
Just suck it up. You got to go see Dude, Where's My Car? Just suck it up.
Well, I mean, look, the idea, like, you have to see Dracula 2000.
Oh, right. That was the driving force.
It's the new Sean William Scott movie. We got to see it.
No. Steve was right. The initial trip was to see Dracula 2000.
Dracula 2000 is the better film, which is crazy. But everyone involved in Dude, Where's My Car should be, like, retroactively canceled. Ashton Kutcher, Sean William Scott.
Yo, you know who's in that movie, dude?
Who?
Donkey Lips.
Oh, wow.
Can't cancel Donkey Lips.
Believe me, we fucking tried.
I think he got canceled in, what, 1995?
Earlier than that.
Yeah. Oh, that old interview resurfaced with from Donkey Lips.
Dude, that John Wayne thing was so pathetic. Why are we shocked that John Wayne was a racist?
He is a racist, and that's totally fine.
1900.
It's not totally fine. It's just like, then that's, don't watch John. When is the last time you, the person who's upset about this John Wayne thing, gave a shit about John Wayne?
Watch the John Wayne movie. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also the 70-year-old dad, they're like, hey, Dad, John Wayne was a racist. He's like, meh.
Yeah, he knows it. Yeah, like, he knows. You're not surprising him.
He's like, yeah, sure. Give me 5 seconds.
I know he was. That's why he's the best.
I mean, like, it's fine to get upset, but there's actually real problems in the world, I think.
Just stop.
He's been dead for 40 years.
Yeah.
Just calm the fuck on that you were surprised about that. Jesus Christ. I mean, you literally have nothing else going on.
Jesus Christ, also problematic. Yeah. If you saw that interview with the fucking Bedlam Gazette, yikes.
And wait till they read that interview with fucking Walt Disney from 1940.
Oh, yeah.
That, you can cancel that dude.
Yeah, who did Walt Disney think was controlling Hollywood? I got a couple of ideas.
We bought our tickets, and I decided to buy a Sprite to ease my still upset stomach while my friend bought Butterfinger BBs and a Coke.
Remember Butterfinger BBs?
I do, yeah. There's like weird little cluster guys,
you
right?
You know what? I'm going to come out for them.
I am coming out for them also.
Thank you.
They were fucking great. Because you know what? Sometimes a Butterfinger is a little too much Butterfinger.
It is.
There, I said it. Sometimes I wanted a BB.
Well, oh, now you're going to get canceled.
Butterfinger is in general too
much.
this is an interview someone's going to read in 2098.
He didn't like Butterfinger beep. What did he think of Bunch of Crunch? What did he think of Bunch of Crunch?
Bunch of Crunch sucked.
What, dude, that's fucking nutrageous of you.
blah, blah, blah.
All right. So many blahs.
And a Coke, and we trudged into the shitty experience of Ashton Kutcher and Sean William Scott bumbling through nonsensical bullshit.
Dude,
my
sweet.
And then a bunch of slurs about.
Like if you got a transcript from that and you did like Google word search, gay slurs. Wow, there's a lot of yellow highlighter on your document.
It is nonstop in that movie.
What also, though, again, I'm not shocked, by the way.
Yeah, what do you expect from a script from Gavin McGinnis?
Penned by.
Everyone wishes he was that talented.
Now, this is YouTube, so you can't say his name two more times or he will appear on this stream.
Oh, that's right.
Just be very, that's be totally very right. Close. Very, you got one.
Zip.
My teeth are going to fall out of my head. My friend offered me a Butterfinger BB, and I decided to take one. Biting into it seemed to trigger a horrible reaction as I bolted out of my chair, and I rushed to the nearest bathroom to unleash a torrent of vomit into the bowl.
That's awesome.
After a few moments...
better than the movie.
After a few moments, I raised myself on unsteady legs in the most intense decision of my day. Insane decision of my day. I went back into the theater to continue watching the film. I went back and forth between the bathroom and the theater at least 5 times.
Oh, no.
Dude, it is time to go home, man.
You're a little too sick for the movie, buddy. It's okay. John William Scott will be there when you get home. And yet still managed not to lose any of the plot strands that were going on through the movie.
Of course not. They're looking for a car.
By the end of it, I was feeling the cold sweats and the stomach cramps of the flu overcoming me. And by the time I got home, I was planning to avoid my family party and instead just stay home. My parents had told me to rest a while and see how I was feeling closer to the time of the party. So I did.
Family party?
You know, a family party on the, you know, depending
on your
age.
What does that entail?
Well, no, but like, was it somebody's birthday?
No, it was just a family New Year's Eve party.
Oh, New Year's Eve. I guess I missed that part.
Oh, I thought it was a key party.
Oh, New Year's Eve 2000. Oh, I see.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Well, it's still be a key party.
Jeremy, we need you to come down. It's not even unless you come down.
Jeremy, the orgy needs an eighth.
Jeremy, have you seen Society?
Shunting.
Feeling a bit better, I went along to the party and just hung out in the spare room playing PlayStation for 45 minutes until my dad found me and said, "We have to go." It turns out both of my parents had followed my lead and gotten sick too.
Oh, wow.
It was a mad dash home, and thankfully we all made it home without any incident. And rang in the New Year's with puke buckets by our beds.
That's incredible.
That's insane.
Here's to hoping that you chuckled at this. And if you watched it on YouTube, you could see that we did.
Chuckled a whole bunch.
Thanks for the laughs.
Oh, my God.
That's the best script for a John Waters movie I ever read.
You know, I think I vomited in New Year's 2000 as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think I was...
You were so scared about Y2K?
No, I think I was in Montreal, which is where Americans of New York... can go to get drunk underage.
That's right.
Legally.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember the hotel fire alarm went off at like 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I was so wasted.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was. Young. Too young.
Did you shit the bed?
No, but I went out, I like found the source of the fire alarm and I put like a pillow over it. I was like, what is happening?
That's how you rang in the millennium.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The new manium.
Remember that Robbie Williams song, Millennium?
Millennium.
Wasn't it Robbie Williams?
What did I call him?
I think you said Robin Williams.
Oh, no, I did not say Rob. I mean, I meant Robbie Williams.
Well, that is WHM Mailbag for the month of February, gang. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you want your weird stories or questions answered on the air, right into the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Until next month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Sisko.
Yeah, no, they saw you.
I hit the microphone.
They saw you. Don't worry about it.
I hit the microphone.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.